We're holding in Megillah, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, and coming off of the discussion of names of cities in Tanakh, we're going to continue. Amar Rabbi Avu, Rabbi Avu said, Ve'kron te'akir. The verse says in the last of the prophets, in Tzfanya, one of the later prophets, the minor 12 shorter prophets, that Ekron, the city of Ekron, will be uprooted. Now Ekron is a Philistine city. So what's that talking about? They're long gone. Answers the Talmud, Zukesari Batedom. That's Caesarea, the city of Edom, where the Caesar lived. Sheyoshevet ben acholot. That's sitting in the sand dunes. Vehi aita yatet kual Yisrael bimei vanim. And it was like a spoke, like a what? No, yatet is like a pole stuck in us in the days of the Greeks. Ushegavam malchut betrashmonai v'nitzchum. And when the Asmonean, the house of the Asmoneans, overcame them and were victorious against them, they'd say, oh, that's the tower that's being captured. That's the tower that's been captured from the Kesari Bat Edom, whatever that is. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, my dichtiv. So Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina continues the discussion of Edom. What does the verse mean when it says in Zechariah, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the three prophets that helped us erect the second temple? And Zechariah said, "Vasiruti demav mipi v'shikutzav miben shinav." I will remove the blood from his mouth, and I will remove the disgusting things from between his teeth. V'nishal gamul elokeinu, and he too will remain for our God. What's the verse talking about? I'll remove the blood from his mouth. This is a discussion in the prophet Zechariah about the city of Tzor. The city of Tzor was an island near Israel, and people would travel through that island. It was on the trade route, and they'd make a lot of money because the traders would meet on that island. Chazal tell us throughout Tanakh, when the Tanakh discusses Tzor, Tzor is a reference to all of Edom. Tzor is like the capital of Edom. So here, where the prophet is discussing the downfall of Tzor, Chazal tell us this is not a reference to Tzor specifically, but this is a reference to all of Edom. And so, Vasiruti damav mipiv, I will take the blood out of his mouth, Zebit mamya shelahin, that's the house, their temple, Veshikutzav mi ben shinav, and their disgusting things from between their teeth, Zebit galia shelahin. It's a different type of house of worship. V'nishal gamul elokeinu, the verse says, and he too will remain for our God. Elu batei knesiot uvatei medrashot shebe'edom. That the Jewish, the shuls, and the batei medrash in Edom, they will remain. Even after Edom is destroyed, the shuls and the batei medrash will remain. V'yaka aluf biyuda ve'ekron kaivusi. He will be, Ekron will be like a top one in Judah. And he will be, Ekron will be like the Yevusi, Elu tertariot v'kesar kalsiot shebe'edom. These are the theaters and the circuses in Edom, shatidin sarei Yehuda lelemed ben Torah barabim, that the leaders of Judah are in the future will teach Torah to the masses there. So everyone quoted this when they had the Sima Shas in Madison Square Garden. So you had tens of thousands of people, right? How many people are in Madison Square Garden? I don't know. Almost 20,000 people. They said, that's this. That the Colosseums will be used for teaching Torah to the masses. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Tos, Leshem, the city of Leshem that the tribe of Dan captured, Zupamais, that is what we call today the Banyas. Pamyas, Banyas, right? Pei and Bez, Mem and Nun are interchangeable in Hebrew, right? Aspamya is Spain, Hevker and Hefker. Fei and Vez, Pei and Bez are interchangeable. So Pamyas is what today they call the Banyas. So when the tribe of Dan took Pesel Micha, as we will learn Be'ezrat Hashem Sunday. What? The
waterfalls up north?
I don't know if that waterfalls, but that's where the Jordan spills out of. I have no idea. Could be. I've never been there. I don't know. So when the tribe of Dan went north and took territory called Leshem, Rabbi Yitzchak explains, notice this is the theme of this whole daf, identifying cities in Tanakh. So the city of Leshem is really Pamyas. Ekron te'akel, when it says Ekron will be uprooted, we know Ekron was a Philistine city in Israel. That's not a reference to that Ekron, but rather Kesari bat Edom, that is a reference to Caesarea and Edom. Shehi aita metropolin shel melachim, it was a massive city for the kings. Some say that's where they raised the kings. And some say that's where they established the kings. From there they established the kings. Now here's a rule for life. If someone tells you about the capital of Edom and the capital of Israel, Caesarea and Jerusalem. If someone tells you Edom and Jerusalem are both destroyed, Al Tamin, don't believe him. Yashavushtehen, if someone tells you they're both established and doing well, Al Tamin, don't believe him. If he tells you Caesarea is destroyed and Jerusalem's settled, Jerusalem is destroyed and Kesari settled, Tamen, then you believe. Shenemaz, the verse says, the city of Tzor declared, oh great, the city of Israel is going to be destroyed, and Imale'ah Echoreva, I will be filled from their destruction. That's a rule in life. Imale'ah Echoreva, the city of Tzor said, I will get so wealthy from their destruction, we make it a play on words. Imale'ah, Imale'ah. If one is full, if one is full, the other is destroyed. This one's destroyed. So this is a rule in life, and we're learning in our Friday classes the Ran, the Drashas Aran, that describes why God made it so that it must be so. That's this week's Parsha, right? We're about to read it. Yes.
How is that possible? I mean, how does that work today?
It means if one's flourishing, the other isn't.
Today.
And who's Edom? Who's Edom?
I could say maybe America.
Maybe, but Chazal seemed to learn that Edom is something else. I don't want to say online. Okay. We'll pause our recording. I don't know.
Oh, so he said this is our nemesis.
Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Mehacha. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says this concept can be derived from our parsha. When Rivka comes to the rabbi, she comes to Shimon Aver and says, what's happening? I'm having such a painful pregnancy. No one else has had such a painful pregnancy. He explains to her that God placed in her womb two diametrically opposed beings. Uleomi leomi ematz. And one nation will constantly be overcoming the other one. There will be constant fighting. Huh?
Just coincidence you're at this part of the parsha?
No, it's called Siyata Dishmaya.
Right, that's what I
meant. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mai Dichtiv, Yuchan Rasha Balamat Tzedek. What does the verse mean when it says, have compassion for the wicked, and they haven't learned righteousness? This is a reference to a conversation between Yitzchak and God. Amar Yitzchak lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzchak says to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Yuchan Esav, have mercy, pardon Esav. Amar lo Rashau, God says, wait a second, he's wicked. Amar lo Balamat Tzedek, is there nothing good to say about him? Amar lo, God said to Yitzchak, Be'eretz Nechochot Yavel, he will destroy the land of Israel. He's going to destroy Israel. Amalo, then Yitzchak said, In ken bal yir'eh geyut Hashem. Don't let him see the might of Hashem. Look at how precious the land of Israel was to Yitzchak Avinu. The fact that he's wicked, so Yitzchak says, well, maybe there's something good to say about him. But he destroyed the land of Israel, then Yitzchak says, okay. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv. Rabbi Yitzchak said, what does it say, guys? I'm no Zionist. That's what it says here. I mean, I shouldn't say I'm no Zionist. I'm a Zionist like David HaMelech was. It's Shivas Tzion, Einu Kecholmim. No, David HaMelech was also a Zionist. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv. What does the verse mean when it says, Al titen Hashem avayei rashaz mamo al tafek, yorom musela. Don't give the wicked one his desires. Do not remove his muzzle, and they will be uplifted forever. Amar Yaakov lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This verse is a conversation between Yaakov and God. He said to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Al Titen Li Esav HaRasha Tavat Libo. Do not let Esav the wicked have his desire. Zmamo Al Tafek. Do not remove his muzzle. Zu Germania Shel Edom. That's a reference to the Germanic tribes of Edom. She'ilmalei hen yotzin, if they would only have get out, if they would take control, machivin kol olam kulo, they destroy the whole world. So,
we're looking back, Mishnah says Germania. That's Ashkenaz.
Yeah.
Modern day Ashkenaz.
Right.
Germany.
Sure. It's like Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, Germania is Germania. You see that throughout the Midrashim. It's the Aryans.
Germany?
It's Germany. Sometimes it's the Aryan race. And generally it's, Germania. I mean, in Rosh Hashanah, the Gra writes that Germania is Germania, yeah.
People are allowed to reflect it because it's exciting. It's pretty shocking. I mean, they had no contact with the Germanic tribes in Israel. Probably.
Yeah, they did. You see in the Midrashim. I don't know how, but they did. The Midrashim discuss them. The Midrashim break down the human race into species. You have Midrashim that discuss the Aryan race and
doesn't this mean perhaps
I wouldn't say that. No.
Out of being exposed to them culturally?
Somehow they were exposed. I don't know how, but I wouldn't attribute it to prophecy. No. Shin Malayan Yotin this they derived from the prophets.
Okay.
This line they derived from the prophets, but the concept of the Germanic tribes they knew. For if they would come out, if they would have the power, they would destroy the whole world. Rav Chaim Bar Chanina taught, there are 300 people who have crowns tied on. They're potential kings. And there are 365 dukes in Rome. And every day they face off. And they assassinate one of them. And that's what detains them from establishing a king. Their internal political struggles, their assassination. And Rabbi Yitzchak taught us another rule. If someone says, I've worked very hard learning Torah, and you know what? It didn't turn up. As hard as I worked, I didn't get Torah. Al tamen, don't believe him. If a guy tells you, lo yagati, I didn't work hard, umatzati, and Torah just turned up at my doorstep. I woke up one morning and I knew it. I just knew Torah. Al tamen, don't believe him. The only way it works is, yagati, if a person says, I worked hard, umatzati, and then it turned up, amen, then you should believe him. That's only true when it comes to Torah. But when it comes to business, if he became a millionaire, could be he became a millionaire overnight. There's godly help. A person can suddenly succeed in business. He could suddenly make a mint. He could invent Google and find himself rolling in dough. He could invent Facebook. Find themselves rolling in dough. There are all kinds of invitations that people, inventions or other businesses where a person could quickly make a mint. And when we talk about Torah and we say you got to work at it to really get it, that's only to get the sharp aspects of Torah. But to memorize your learning, that you could work very hard and not succeed. Even if a person works really hard, he might end up forgetting what he's learned. To really walk away and have your learning clear and have it so you could quote it, that siyata min shmayahi, you need help from above, daven about it. To understand your learning sharply, that requires work. Your deep understanding requires work. If you work hard, you'll get it. You don't work hard, you won't get it. But to have a girsa, to have the learning so you could quote it, that you got to work hard and you got to pray. You need help from above. Some people can work hard and they won't get that. No, it means you learn. We learned today a whole Amud Bezrat Hashem. So do you walk away and you could quote what we've learned or not? So first you got to review 10 times. That's called that you learned it once. After you reviewed it 10 times, then you got to start reviewing it. You know, and then if you've reviewed it, and even though you've reviewed it 40, 50, 60 times, you still don't get it, so daven. That's you need help from above. But until you've reviewed it 10 times, you haven't really learned it, right? So that we're talking about reviewing it after you've learned it. Not like here, we're just flying through the Gemara. Right, let's continue. Look, all this is a Gadita. there's tremendous depth. I want you to hear the concepts. I'm giving Perushim as I read it. If you listen to this again and you'll listen closely to what I'm saying, you'll see that I am giving an explanation as I read it. Right now you're just hearing the pshat. Bezrat Hashem, you'll learn it again, you'll get deeper on your own, or you'll listen to this again, you'll get deeper on your own. My goal here is just to cover the basic idea of what's going on. Bezrat Hashem, you'll learn it better, you'll see there's much, much more depth to what we're reading. But for now, we're going to move forward. Amar B'Yitzchak, V'Amar B'Yitzchak, we're continuing to quote teachings of Rabbi Yitzchak. Im ra'ita rasha shasham sacheket lo, if you see someone wicked, that seems to be having time on his side. Everything he does seems to be succeeding. He's lucky now. Sham isacheket lo is a way of saying he's lucky now. Everything seems to be going right for him. Al titgarebo, don't take him on. Shneimar, as the verse says, al titchaba mireim, don't start up with people who do evil. Ve'laod, and not only that, ela shedrachav matzlichin, you might see a time where he's unusually successful. Shneimar, as the verse says, yachilu derachav becholet. At all times, it seems like he's successful. Ve'lo od ela shezocheh bedin. You might see him go to judgment and walk away victorious. Shneimar, marom mishpatecha minegdo. The verse says, God, it seems like you're withholding judgment of him. You're holding your judgment up against him. Ve'lo od ela shoreh besonav. You might see him victorious over his enemies. He's wicked. And suddenly you see, everything seems to be going his way. He's victorious when they try to take him to court. He sees his enemies fall. Shneimar kol tzorav yafiach behem. As the verse says, he blows away at his enemies and he's successful. So don't start up with him. Such things happen in the world and God knows what he's doing and God might not intervene. So don't start up with him. You see that things are going well for him? Stay away. Hide. Ani, is that so? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rashbi. Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that said, "Mutar li'tgarot b'Hashem l'olam hazeh." One may start up with the wicked in this verse, as the verse says, "Shneimar ozvei Torah ya'alelu rasha." Those that leave the Torah, they might walk away praising the wicked. V'shomrei Torah, but those who keep the Torah yitgaru v'am, they'll start up with the wicked. They won't let them get away with their ways. So you see, one quote says, "You see someone wicked, start up with him." The other pasuk says, don't start up with him. How does that work?
Confront,
okay. Answers the Gemara. Vitanya. And we also have a brisa that says, Rabbi Dostai bar Matun amar, mutar litgot bar Hashem b'olam hazeh. Rabbi Dostai bar Matun taught, you are permitted to take on the wicked in this world. If someone quotes to you the verse that we just quoted, saying, don't start up with the wicked, answer him, only someone who's in doubt himself, who doesn't feel himself worthy, he himself is not so stable, only someone like that would quote a pasuk like this. Ella, but what the pasuk means to say when it says don't start up with the wicked, don't challenge the wicked, when it says don't challenge the wicked, it means don't challenge them to try and outdo them. Liotka mireim, don't you try to be like them. And don't be zealous could also mean don't be jealous of those that do evil. Liot ko se'avla, to be by, like them. V'omeres, we find the verse says, al yekanei li b'chav ha'chataim, don't be jealous of the sinners. So here we have one quote that says, no, when the verse says don't start up, it means don't start up. And the other quote says, sure you can start up. And don't start up means don't start up to be like them. Don't say I want to be like so-and-so.
Go ahead and challenge.
So, but you could challenge them, right? So we have a contradiction. Answers the Gemara, lo kasha, that's not a question. Habemili didei, habemili dishmaya. First answer is, it depends if it's your own issues or God's issues. If the issue is that he's stealing from you, well, don't start up, you might not win. If the issue is that he's doing things that are destroying people's going in God's ways, he's bringing in improper magazines to his store. He's doing who knows what. So there, it's an issue. It's God's issues. There, you could start up with him. That's one answer. V'ba'itema, and if you want, I could give you another answer. Hav'abimilididei. Both understandings are when it's your own personal issue. He's not paying the vad bayit. He's not paying his fair share of the rent. V'lo kasha. But the two quotes are not contradictory. Ha b'tzadik gamur, ha b'tzadik sheino gamur. It depends on what level you're on. If a person is a complete tzaddik, if he's a perfect tzaddik himself, then he could take on the wicked. He's got nothing to worry about. But if a person is an average tzaddik, he's a good person, he's a tzaddik, but he has his own imperfections, he doesn't have the merit to stand up to someone who's wicked and succeed. The Amar Ravuna, as Ravuna taught, my dichtiv, what does the verse mean when it says the prophet Habakkuk, we know Habakkuk, he drew a circle in the sand and said, God, I'm not leaving this circle till you answer me. How could it be that you will destroy the temple? How could it be that the Jews will suffer? How could it be that the wicked will overcome the Jews and the Jews will be tormented and tortured? God, I'm standing in this circle in the sand till you answer me. And God answered him. And then Habakkuk understood that he erred, that he spoke disrespectfully toward heaven, and he prayed for forgiveness. And those are the three chapters of Habakkuk. The first is Habakkuk's claim, the second is Habakkuk's is God's answer, and the third is Tfilah leHabakkuk, Habakkuk's prayer asking forgiveness. So now in Habakkuk's claim, Habakkuk questions and says, Lama tabit bogedim, why God do you look on as people are traitors, tacharish, and you're silent, as the wicked envelop those that are more righteous than them. That pasuk gives the answer. Tzadik mimenu bolea. The pasuk says they envelop those that are more righteous than them, but they're not completely righteous. Tzadik gamur eino bolea. But someone who is completely righteous, they would not be successful in enveloping. Veivait. And if you want, Amai could tell you sha'am misacheket loshani, that when we say be wary of a wicked person that's lucking out, the idea is that's unique. You see something's afoot, right? You see that he's successful in everything he does. That's unusual. Ordinarily, you see someone wicked. If you're righteous, you could take him on. But if you see that everything he's doing is being successful, you see that God's, so to speak, letting him get away with things. Stay away. That's the last answer of the Gemara. So we had three answers in the Gemara here. One was, depends on whether it's your issue or God's issue. Two was, it depends if you're completely righteous or not. Three was, if he's having an exceptionally successful time, that's when Chazal meant stay away. Okay, let's make a run for the Mishnah. Amarula, Ula taught, Italia shel Yavan, Zekach gadol shel Romi. Italy of Greece, when Menashe, the king of Judah, took an idol and brought it into the temple, the angel Gabriel went to the sea and stuck a reed in the sea, and from that reed grew the island of Italy. And isn't Greece an island?
Italy, wait, we're talking about Italy.
We're talking about Italia shel Yavan. Italia is some city in Greece. I don't know what, I don't know, it's not the Italy we're talking about. It's not Italy, it's somewhere in Greece. It's Italia shel Yavan, the Italy of Greece. What?
There's a few thousand
islands. Fine. So there's one Greek island called Italy, Italia. That island, Zekach Gadol Shel Romi, was a tremendous city of the Romans. V'itlat me'aparsa, tlat me'aparsa. And it was 300 parsa by 300 parsa, which is about 1,200 miles by 1,200 miles. The Yeshba Shesash Vakim, and it has 365 marketplaces that have thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. Kiminyani Motachama, corresponding to the days of the year. Bekatan Shebekulan Shel Mocheyafot, and the smallest market is the market in which they sell chicken. Vehavia Shishasal Mil al Shishasal Mil, and that market is 16 mile by 16 mile wide. And the king has a feast every day of the year in a different marketplace. And then the cycle starts again. Now this is all agada, right? This has deeper meaning, but on the surface, this is what it says. What? Maybe it's Sicily. Maybe.
It was a Greek colony that was part of Italy. It became
a... Could be. I don't know. Could be. Could be. והדאו באף על פי שאינו נולד בה נוטל פרס מבית המלך. If someone lives in the market where the king feasts that day, even if he wasn't born there, he gets a gift from the king. והנולד באף על פי שאינו דאו בה נוטל פרס מבית המלך. And whoever was born in that city, even if he isn't there right now, gets a gift from the king as well. ושלושת אלפים בית בני יש בו, and there are 3,000 bathhouses in over there. Yeah, בית בני, I think, is bathhouses. וחמש מאות חלונות מעלין עשן חוץ לחומה, and they have 500 windows over here. Windows means chimneys to let the smoke out of the city, out of the walls of the city, so the city won't get all smoked. Tzido achad yam, one side of the city is sea, v'tzido achad arim v'gvod, another side is mountaintops and hilltops. Tzido achad mechitza shel barzel, one side has a wall of iron, of metal, v'tzido achad chudsit umtzula, another place is like a moat where they have thin stones that horses can't cross, that they sink like quicksand, and depth. So what do we know from all this? I have no idea. This is all Agadita. It's telling us something, but we don't know what it is. Let's review what we see today. We began with the discussion of the city of Ekron. Remember, we said Ekron is Kesari of Edom, and it was like a spoke stuck into the people in the days of the Greeks. When the Asmonean Empire overcame them, they used to name it Achidat Migdal Sher, the tower that they've captured. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina quoted that God will remove the blood and the disgusting things from the mouth of Edom. That's a reference to their temples, and the shuls and Bate Medrash will remain. That's V'nishar Gamul Elokeinu. The verse that says that Ekron will become like the Great One of Judah teaches us that their coliseums will be used for teaching Torah in the masses. Then Rabbi Yitzchak taught us that Leshem is the Banyas, Ekron Te'aker is Kesari, the capital of Edom, and some say that's where they brought up the kings, some say that's where they established the kings. Then we were taught that if someone tells you that they're both flourishing, don't believe. They're both destroyed, don't believe. One is up and one is down, do believe. And we quoted that a source for that could also be found in our parasha, Ulom Ilom Ye'ematz. Then we quoted a conversation between Yitzchak and God, that Yitzchak asked for mercy over Esav, and God said he's wicked. Yitzchak said even so. God said he will destroy the land of Israel. Then Yitzchak agreed. Then we quoted a conversation between Yaakov and God, where Yaakov asked God, do not remove the muzzle of Germany, because if they come out, they'll destroy the world. Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Hanina taught that the internal political struggles are what prevent them from coming and destroying the world. Rabbi Yitzchak said, if someone tells you that he's struggled and not succeeded, or succeeded without struggling, don't believe him. The only way to succeed is with struggling. But when it comes to knowing your stuff by heart, that's where you need God's help. Then we had another quote from Rabbi Yitzchak, if you see a wicked person unusually successful, victorious in court, and overcoming his enemies, stay away. And we quoted contradictory quotes. We said three possible answers. Either it depends whether it's your personal issue or God's issue, or it depends whether you are completely righteous or righteous but not completely, or else the exception is when you see him unusually successful. And we concluded our learning today with the discussion of Italia Shel Yavan. It was suggested that's Sicily, which is this great city that has the size is 1,200 mile by 1,200 mile with 365 marketplaces. The smallest one is where they sell birds, and that one is 16 mile by 16 mile. The king eats in each marketplace and gives a gift to anyone that lives there or was born there, even if they don't live there. And there are 3,000 bathhouses there, 500 chimneys to get the smoke out of the city. And it is well fortified on all four sides. One side is the sea, one side is the mountains, one side is a metal fence, and one side is a moat with sand and small stones and depths. Okay, so this was Agadita today.
The size of that land is bigger than the length of California in both directions. Say 1,200 miles.
It's a good time. I don't know what we're supposed to make of all this.
It's a huge land.
No.
1,200 miles. It's like California's land.
So here we're told the size of the island, how many bathhouses, how many people are there, and all these numbers. What is this supposed to mean? Halachically,
we don't know.
Or is this a story?
Well, it has hidden meaning as to our understanding of the...
The coast is, what, 2.3 to 2.9 miles.
That's what they say? I thought it was 4.
Well,
I gauged it based on 4.
Okay,
let's say.
A post has 4 mil. Or
right.
Almost.
4 mil is usually assumed to be 4 miles.
Maybe it's kilometers.
No.
It's here, between 2.3 and 2.9 miles.
That's kilometers.
Okay.
Okay, so is it based, so is there's deeper meaning behind that?
Lower the numbers, so it's 800 by 800 miles.
Does the Maharal of Prague talk about this?
Yeah, sure. Everyone talks about this Gemara. This Gemara...
No, but I mean, I like in the Ber Hagolah.
I don't remember. I don't know. The Maharal discussed it, I don't remember where.
That's
Maharal
amazing.
Has a famous piece on this, yeah.
It's mainly about the points on the Germany and the internal
strength. We're doing Megillah, and we'll get a peek at the next Gemara, Daf Vav Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah. Karu ta Megillah ba'Adar HaRishon. If they read the Megillah at the first Adar, and we know that the courts can make it into a leap year and add a month, which we call the second Adar, V'nita Bera Hashana. And after they celebrated Purim and read the Megillah and everything was hunky-dory, the courts decided to make it a leap year. So now we have a second Adar. The courts can make a second Adar till the end of the month. They have the capacity to do that. And the courts would only convene on it towards the month of Adar. The courts would not decide till around this time. So this is very feasible that everyone celebrated Purim, and then the courts a week later decide another Purim, right? Not necessarily. Up until Rosh Chodesh, they could determine it, and the year became a leap year. Karino Tavadar Sheni. Then we would read the Megillah again in the second Adar. Ein bin Adar Rishon Adar Sheni ela Kriyat Megillah u'Matanot Levyonim. There's no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar, other than that we read Megillah and give the gifts to the poor on the second Adar. And this will lead us into a slew of Mishnayot that will go ein bein. There's no difference between this and that, other than, it will take two similar things and say, there's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, other than. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, other than. There's no difference between a Mitzorah, this type of Mitzorah, and that type of Mitzorah, other than. So, all of these Mishnayot are inconclusive. Even though the Mishnah says there is no other difference, we have on tradition that there is other differences. The Mishnah just means these are the prime differences. It doesn't literally mean these are the only differences. So we begin by assuming that we're going to take this at face value, and the Gemara says, if the Mishnah told me there's no other difference, so it's definitely coming to preclude a specific difference. It's coming to tell me that they're equal on another front. And what is that? Halinyan Seder Parshiyot Zeveze Shavin. We know that the rabbis instituted that we have special parshiyos that we read in the month of Adar. We read the parsha of Shkolim, reminding the Jews to donate their machtzis ha-shekel. We read the parsha of Parah Aduma, to remind the Jews to purify themselves for the Paschal offering. We read the parsha of Zohar, reminding ourselves about what Amalek did to us. And we read the parsha of Achodesh, reminding ourselves of the month that's coming up, the first mitzvah. So the Gemara assumes that if there's no difference between the two Adars, that would mean that we add the extra parsha readings in both, right? Even though Purim will only be celebrated on the second one, Halinyan Sido Parshiyot Tzeveze Shavin. So we understand that this is going to teach us that, but with regard to the order of the parshas that are read, Ze Vize Shavin. This and this are equal. Mani matnitin. Who is going to be the author of our Mishnah? And when the Gemara asks this, so sometimes the Gemara asks it because our Mishnah does not fit with Rabbi Meir's opinion. We know that any Stam Mishnah is supposed to be Rabbi Meir. So sometimes the Gemara will ask, Mani matnitin or matnitin mani, who's the author of this Mishnah? Because it doesn't fit with the classical Rabbi Meir authorship of the Mishnah. We know that this will not fit with Rabbi Meir's opinion. Sometimes the Gemara asks mani matnitin, like over here, because the Gemara says, wait a second, this doesn't fit with anyone we know. Lo Tanakama, velo Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, velo Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. It doesn't fit with the three known Tanakh opinions on this matter. Titania, for we have a braisa, a tosefta, that says the following. Karu et ha-Megillah ba-Adar ha-Rishon. If they read the Megillah on the first Adar, v'nitavera ha-Shana, and then the year became a leap year, korin ota ba-Adar ha-Sheni, they would reread the Megillah on the second Adar. Shekol mitzvot she-Nohagot ba-Sheni, Nohagot ba-Rishon. For all mitzvot that apply on the second Adar, apply in the first Adar, chutz me-Mikra Megillah, aside from the reading of the Megillah. So that's the first opinion in the Mishnah, in this braisa.
Is the point in regards to the first Adar or to the second Adar?
You want to sharpen what you're saying, yeah?
We just stated that they read already on the first Adar.
Right.
And from that we're saying that they read also in the second Adar. And we're making a point about the first Adar, the question, right?
I'm listening, yeah.
So that is not the right proof. No, that's not
the right wording. You're
the
saying
right wording here.
The wording, he's making an excellent point. The wording assumes that our given is the second. Whatever applies on the second also applies on the first. Meaning, which one is the given? The second. Notice he made an excellent point. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah worded it, there's no difference between the two. It didn't give either one preference. This braisa discusses it as though we all know you do things on the second. So you should know you also do them on the first. Everything that you do on the second, you'll also do on the first. You see the tone?
Okay.
Which is the given? The second. Great point. Excellent. Okay. Continues the braisa. Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Yossi, Omer. Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Yossi, Tot. In Korin Ota Ba'Adar Sheni. You don't read it on the second Adar. Why? Shekol mitzvot shenogot b'sheni, nogot b'rishon. All mitzvot that apply on the second, apply on the first. That's what we just read. All mitzvot that apply in the second, apply in the first. And therefore we would not read it in the second Adar. So here we see the wording here is tricky. We also see that the word noheg has a completely different meaning in the second opinion than it did previously. We understood noheg means whatever you did then, you would have to do here. Noheg over here, according to Rav Lezer Rav Yossi, means it's applicable and you fulfilled your obligation.
Okay.
You have the potential for fulfilling your obligation. Noheg, we see here, can also mean has the potential for fulfilling the obligation. And we will restart from the Mishnah again tomorrow, Bezalel.